Grab your Bibles, please. The book of 1 John chapter 2. So we start off in this book, and the question really came down through is, look, if I've accepted Christ as my Savior, what kind of impact does it have on my life? What does being a Christian look like? And in here, John has such a compelling argument that, look, if truly I know God, truly I realize the grace He has given me, that, folks, that should transform our lives. It should change our motives, our actions. It should change what we do and what we think and what we say. If truly Christ has gotten a hold of my life, we should never be the same. As we sang in that song, He touched me. And so in light of this, we talk about that impact. And it's sort of convicting as we go down through. It's like, oh wow, look at the love that you've given me, and I don't match up to that. Right? I struggle. Because sometimes I do my own thing. Sometimes I have my own way instead of saying, God, what do you want? Chapter 2 gets on through, and John really tells us and encourages us in this idea of our spiritual growth of where we are. No matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, that in there are indicators in our lives that should motivate us to more. And the Bible talks about that, look, when we're saved, we must be born again, Jesus says. Right? So, spiritually, we are newborn babes. We're going to look at that just a little bit. But in here, we are spiritually new. And in here, we grow and hopefully we mature. Hopefully, as the years go in, hopefully, the more I'm in the Bible and the more God has a control in my life, hopefully we will grow. And as we mature, God shows us more and reveals us new things. Now we talk about this idea of spiritual growth, that just because I'm older than you or you're older than me, that does not necessarily mean that you're more mature spiritually. Right? Your spiritual maturity isn't exactly related to your age. What it has to do with is how much God has come in through and had control of your life. Now you may be a Christian for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, but you haven't been in the Word of knowing that in here you haven't walked a life that is in fellowship with Him, that you can still be a spiritual babe in Christ. Whereas you may have someone who even physically is young, who has just gobbled up God's Word, who in here has applied it to their life, who might spiritually be more mature. So as we go down through and John starts talking about these classifications in our spiritual life and as far as our physical life as well, as he talks about this, ask yourself, okay, which one of these groups am I in? And have an honest assessment of ourselves. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. Because I know, because you're still here. If we're imperfect, we'd be up in heaven, right? God's still working on us. I'm thankful He doesn't stop. But as we yield to Him, each one of us, no matter where we are in our Christian life, can stop and pause and reflect and be thankful. And Lord, help me to press on to more things. Alright? So with that, we're going to start off here in chapter 2 of 1 John, verses 12, 13, and 14. Follow along in your Bibles. I have it up on the screen as well. It says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And as we go down through, we look at this cry out to the church of where we are in our Christian walk, in our relationship with Him. Each one of these, no matter where we are, really spurs us on to more things. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to kind of go through this kind of little chronologically, if you will, a little bit. We're going to talk about when we first get saved. When we first get saved, I don't know if you remember where you are, where or what you did at that point in time. I was 5 years old, and I was on the front steps of this little tiny church in a town called Sunrise, Minnesota. And I'd gone to Sunday school. The church was probably just a mile or so down the road. And my mom would send us off to Sunday school. I was probably about 5 years old. My sister was about 10, 11. It was a different world then. And she would say, you know, my sister would take me and my brother. My brother was probably about 4 years old. And we would walk down the road and we would go to church. And our Sunday school class was this little bit of a... They had a stairway that came downstairs. Probably a church kind of similar age as this. And they had a curtain drawn across for our Sunday school room. And underneath there, I remember Mrs. Charlotte was our... I still remember my Sunday school teacher. And she would do her flannel graphs and tell us stories about Jesus. And I was just so excited. And I wanted to know more. Until finally, I wanted to talk to the pastor about accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I was 5 years old, sitting on the steps of that church. And my sister, she's like, I'm not waiting for you. So she took off. And she went home, and my mom was like, hey, where's your five-year-old brother? Oh, he's out at the church. And I came running home, and I told my mom that I accepted Jesus. I asked Him into my heart. And that had an impact on my mom. She started to come to church again instead of just sending us. And it's exciting. I remember, you know, what it felt like. How about you? You turn back the clock. Some of you have been saved for so long. Some of you maybe hasn't been that long. Or maybe you look at your life and say, oh, I've never done that. I've never asked Jesus into my life. I haven't told Him that I believe He died on the cross for my sins. If you haven't done anything like that, I would encourage you. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. That because of my sin, I'm separated from God. But Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for me. You know, I love explaining this to children because they understand that. You know, I tell the kids, I said, imagine next time you're in trouble, that if you tell your parents, you know what, Pastor John will take my punishment for me. How many of you think that's a good deal? And the kids are like, yeah! Right? They understand. And Jesus took the punishment. If we will ask Him to forgive us, He will. Ask Him to come into our lives. Ask Him to be King of our lives and give our lives over to Him. He will come. Forgive us all our other sins. But in here, what happens in John chapter 3, what He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And all of a sudden now we are new spiritual little babies. I didn't know a whole lot. I just knew that I loved Jesus. I just knew what He did for me. And in here, He tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, it says, I write to you little children, right? If you are a spiritually new babe, or maybe in your life you've accepted Christ, maybe it's been a while, but you haven't grown, right? You haven't been where you should be. You haven't been feeding yourself spiritually. Maybe you've been struggling. So maybe you are a spiritual babe, even though you've been a Christian and going to church for a long time. He turns in here, he says, look, the motivation for you to press on is that what? You've known Him. Right? Because your sins are forgiven. Maybe here this morning you say, you know, Pastor, I don't know a whole lot of the Bible. That's okay. You know? Maybe in your life you say, I just haven't been so in tune. You know, I haven't been praying. You know, I've accepted Him, but He's kind of far off. I want to encourage you this morning. At the very least, you know that your sins are forgiven you. And that should make you shout glory, hallelujah. Shouldn't it? I know some of you did that, but you should. But in here, right? Because think of this. At the very base of it all, the beginning of your Christian life is that you were lost, but now you're found. That you were dead in your trespasses and sin. And at the very least is that your sins have been forgiven. The shame and reproach is gone because Jesus paid for it all. You know, if that was all that He ever did for us, that would be enough. Right? And John talks through here, says, look, the impact that God should have on your life, the very fact that He knows the deepest recesses of your heart and loves you anyways. Think about that. I'm always blown away by that. You know, because you might think I'm a great guy. Well, maybe not, but I'll just pretend. Right? I've been here for a little over a year. You might think I'm Mr. Wonderful. I'm not. My wife can tell you. And there's things that she doesn't even know about me. The thoughts that I have. The things I want to do. Even in my life. Right? If you had known some of the things that I have done that no one else knows. Every once in a while, my family will all get together and us kids will start talking about some of the things we did as kids. And it's funny because every once in a while a story will slip out and my mom's like, I didn't know about this. Right? There's still some things that she doesn't, which is probably good. Right? But all of us have skeletons in our closets. And God looks at you and He says, you know what? That doesn't change at all how I feel about you. I still love you. Wow. So many people in this life are struggling looking for that type of love. Looking for a love that is unconditional. This world has a lot of conditional love, doesn't it? Right? If you look a certain way, if you do certain things, if you go along with the crowd. I mean, it starts really young. Right? Talk to my daughter. She's out playing with other girls. And she comes up and, you know, why'd you do that? I said, well, if I didn't do it, they said they wouldn't be my friend anymore if I didn't do it. Right? Or even the desires that I have in my life that I know are contrary to God. Right? The things I look at, the things I read, the things I listen to, the places I go that are contrary to God. And you know it. But we do it anyways. God looks down at you and says, you know what? I paid for all of that. And I love you. That should stir within us. No matter where we are in our Christian walk, no matter what's going on in our lives, we come back down to the fact that we are forgiven and He died, shed His blood for me, suffered those things for my sake. Wow. Verse 13 goes on with the same idea. It says, I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. At the very least, no matter where you are in your Christian life, that you can know that you can know God. You found the answer. The God of the universe knows you by name. He knows what you're going through. So many times I talk to Christians and they're like, you know, I don't feel like God cares. The Bible says, you know what He does? Nobody knows what I'm going through. God does. Do you see what difference that makes in your life? As Christians, the Lord of the universe knows my name. And He loves me. This past week I had to call a company and get some things kind of squared away. And now you don't even talk to people at all, right? You ever been on that? You got this computer and they're like, hi, you can talk to me like you could a normal person. You know, what's your problem? You. No. You know, it's like, ah! Right? Then they put you on hold and da da da, they play horrible music. And then they interrupt this, you know, and then you hear the click and you're like, oh, someone's picking up. And it's another recording, another computer says, oh, your call is important to us. Right? You've been down there? Right? And I'm pretty stubborn, so I'll put it on speakerphone and walk around the house and keep doing what I'm going to do because I'm like, you're not going to win. And I'm not hanging up. Right? In this case, I would go down through and like I was on hold for like, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes. And all of a sudden, this person comes on and says, oh, yeah, Mr. Tabor. Even after all that, you don't even got my name right. Right? Well, we're busy. We're a big corporation. Folks, the Bible says, you little children, you know the Father. Guess what? There's no being put on hold with God. God never says, you know what? I'm too busy for you right now. I'll come back to you later. He never calls me the wrong name. He knows me. But in here, that spurs us on. That look, even as Christians, if all I know is that He loves me and He died for me, if that's all I know, then that, folks, that should give us enough of a taste where we want more. Where we want more. We used to go to Sam's Club. And we'd go to Sam's Club and I'd take my daughter. And we used to call it, my wife would go off in one direction because she's like, because I'm kind of embarrassing to take to those places. Because I'm looking around, I'm shopping around. You know, I scoot down in the cart and I ride. And wee! So she's like, okay, you guys go over here. I'll go over there. And so me and my daughter would go around and we, you know, just having fun. It's a big store, right? And I'd say, hey, let's go snacking. That was our big thing. Let's go snacking. And if you go in Sam's Club, especially on a Saturday, they have all the booths with all the free samples. Right? And we would hit every single one of them. You can almost get a good lunch if you do that. Right? Anyone else go snacking at... Alright, see, alright, Steve, alright. And so we'd go around and you know, and you're like, oh wow, they're giving you free food. And my daughter was just amazed. Like, wait, why are they giving you free food? Because once you get a taste, they want you to come back for more. Right? And there are a few times where it's like, oh, this is really good. You know, hey, hon, can we buy this? She goes, you don't need that. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. But it's so good. Right? It's like, no, it's not in her budget. It's like, okay. right? Folks, once we get a taste of the goodness of God, we should want more. If you're a Christian and you're like, you know, I'm saved. Thanks God. Praise Jesus. I'm going to heaven. But I don't care about the rest of that. Let me tell you something. You're missing out. I don't think you fully understand what God has done in your life or your need for Him. And in here, we turn around. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, look, newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. See, God doesn't want you to stay sort of spiritually overfed babies. He wants us to grow and become active and productive in our lives. Right? I mean, you see a baby and everything's cute. Right? You know, I used to love to take my little nephews, and I would love to take them and play with them. And it wasn't a good time until my nephew puked on me. You know, I'd be one of these ones that's like, wee, wee. My sister's like, you don't want to do that. Oh, it's all right. Blah, 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 blah. You know. And he's like, oh, you know? And he's just this a little Todd. And oh, it was cute. Right? You know, all these things that all these little kids do are so cute and adorable. But it changes all of a sudden when you have someone who's older who's acting like a little one. Fast forward a couple of years and all of a sudden, they ain't so cute. Right? Talked to a parent who came and says, I don't know what to do. I said, well, what's the problem? And they're like, when our little kid was just learning to talk, Uncle Joe would come over and Uncle Joe would use some colorful language. And all of a sudden this little, you know, 2-year-old would come over and quote Uncle Joe. And they all laughed and said, oh, this is so cute. And everyone laughed and the kid learned, hey, this is funny. So now our kid is 8, 9 years old and using the same language. He says, now we can't stop him. He ain't so cute no more. Right? Folks, in our Christian lives, God has designed us to grow and to mature in Him. And how we do that is being in the Word. To learn it. To follow it. And through that process of taking God's Word and following it through, then we grow and we mature. Press on and grow. Next group that he talks about here are these young men. Now, ladies, don't feel left out. We'll plug in your young ladies too. But he talks about this progression down through, that we go from this progression of being babes to going to this progression of young men. The Greek term here is basically anyone who is probably over the, you know, older than probably 13 up until marrying age. That in our Christian walk, we turn around and we start maturing and we start growing. And as we mature and grow, all of a sudden we become able to do more things, right? Watch a kid grow up. And all of a sudden you get to a point where, you know what, you can do this yourself. Oh, wow, I can do this. All of a sudden they're mastering new things. They're learning new things. And they're following out new things. You get to an age where all these things, all of a sudden now you start having these accomplishments. Right? And it's interesting because we talk about this idea of young men, that you get to a point where you start having energy. And all of a sudden now you have the strength. Right? Some of you remember back when you used to be able to do and go, go, go? Wednesday night we were talking and I gotta be careful because I was kind of, we had vacation Bible school and I hadn't quite caught up. And I told people on Wednesday night in a prayer meeting, I want to encourage you, if you want to come out, prayer meeting, come out. And it's really a great opportunity to just pray for one another, pray for the church. It's a great time of fellowship as well. But I was complaining. I was like, you know, this year I'm going to turn 50. And I know some of you are like, yeah, it's just a kid, right? Yeah, I know. That's what they ever say on Wednesday. I said, you know, I mean, probably about the last 2 years, you know, I used to be able to go off and run all week on like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And now I'm like, oh, you know, I get tired now. And I was telling this to the folks on Wednesday night, and they looked at me and said, you're just a kid, shut up, talk to us in 20 years. Right? It's like, I was getting no sympathy. I was getting nothing. And I don't think I'll get much here this morning either, but I was like, you know, I can't quite do all the things I used to do, or I try to do it and I pay for it. Right? But youth has its advantages. And when we're young in the Lord, we get to a place, even physically within the church, that we can serve and do. He says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 14, it says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. There is advantages of being young and being strong in the Lord. It says here, look, because you're strong, you have the energy, you have the drive. Can I tell you one advantage of having young people in the church is you have people who can do things. People who can have boundless energy, who can accomplish much. You know, some of you over the past year, I've talked to you and talked about, you know, some of the things that you were involved with over the years. And there's things that you've jumped into and done. And it's like, wow. All of a sudden you start getting a little bit older and, right? Think about your life. You know, think of maybe you and your spouse first got married and some of the things you did early on in establishing your relationship and establishing your life. You look back now and said, man, I wouldn't do that now. Right? You know, talk to a couple and said, oh yeah, we packed up and we moved. You know, I talked to my parents, it's funny. Let's see, I was probably 9, so... You know, my parents were probably in their late 30s. And they came home one day and said, oh great, family, we're packing up and we're moving to Maine. And my stepfather turned around and took an old school bus, converted it into a camper, loaded us all into it, and drove us all the way from Minnesota to Maine in a bus. We arrived in Maine, up in Dyer Brook, and a pastor there had let us park in his land, so we parked all into the woods. 5 kids, 2 adults, 1 dog. No job, no security, no nothing. We didn't have water. We had to go down and bathe in the river. I remember talking to my parents, you know, like, what were you thinking? Right? God had a plan in it. But they're like, we were young, we were ambitious. Right? I asked my mom, I said, can you imagine doing that now? She's like, no. Right? I speak to you, young men, because you're strong. And you've overcome the wicked one. You're the one who's done some battles. You're the one that through your life, you get to that point where you start making decisions that are going to set you up for the rest of your life. I talked to a young man who had just turned 18. And he had sort of a troubled teenage. He's been in and out of the jail a few times. And he was just turned 18. And of course, his juvenile record all got put away. And he says, you know, what are you going to do now? And he's like, well, you know, because of all this, blah, 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 blah. And you can tell I was really sympathetic. I said, look, you have a new opportunity now. You're 18. But the choices you make now are going to be things that's going to affect you for the rest of your life. Right? You get to a point where you know, you kind of excuse youthful indiscretion. But you get to a point where now you're making decisions and choices that are going to impact you for the rest of your life. As we mature in the Lord, as we grow in the Lord, we're laying down some of these foundational things that's going to go off and it's going to affect us for the rest of our lives. But to be young and be excited, to look, you're in the Word, you know the Word, and you have the energy and the drive to go out and fight some of the battles. Right? There's a lot of things that can be and need to be done in the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we talk about some of these things, you know, some of the things comes down to this, I'm just tired. I'm getting too old for this. We need to pray for young men or young women who are willing to pick up and go and drive, who will fight the battles. It's interesting, 1 Corinthians chapter... Go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's an interesting thing because Paul was telling these young couples, he says, look, hold off on getting married. Don't get married. And here's the reason for it, but I want to pull the truth out of this. It says, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of this world, how he pleases his wife. Paul brings out an interesting, really true thing in life. And you, let me know if you agree with me. That all of a sudden, as you get older, you have more responsibilities. I remember when my wife and I were first married. We didn't have a house. We didn't have car payments. We didn't have all those things. And we said, Lord, we'll go anywhere you want us to go. And we meant it. Right? My desire was I wanted to go off into the deep woods of Papua New Guinea and work with natives. You know, I wanted to come back with the snake story. And I wanted to, you know, all the adventure. And God kind of closed that door up. But I was willing to go. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. But I've gotten older, now it becomes more responsibilities. How many of you guys have houses and cars and all these things and responsibilities and payments and all these things that start going down and start now? Lord, I would love to do this, but I have, right? As we age, we tend to have more things that kind of, maybe it's your health. You say, you know, Lord, I would love to do this, but my health isn't allowing me, right? We all would understand that, look, as we age, some of that freedom we have starts going away. That sometimes these young couples don't have. But I pray for you young men, you young ladies, because you're strong. And in here, use that opportunity to serve the Lord. What I find hard sometimes as a pastor is I talk to those who are kind of in that 18 to 48 group. And what they are is, I'm so busy doing what I want to do now. God, I'll serve you when I'm older. Right now I'm too involved in all the things I want to do. God, I'll serve you when I'm older. Can I tell you, I've met more people who have more regrets because we want to give God the leftovers of our lives. Instead of the peak years of our lives. So we talk about little children. We talk about young men. That brings us to one more group that he talks about here. He says, I speak to you, fathers. Once again, not to leave you ladies left out. You can plug in here, mothers. Verse 13, he says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Verse 13, he reiterates this. He says, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And maybe you're here, he says, you know what? I've served the Lord for many years. I've served, been active, and now I've gotten to a point in my life where I don't have what I used to do. Somewhere along the line, I don't I don't even know where this came from. My wife and I would come up, used to sing a little song. The old gray mare is not what she used to be. Right? And so anytime, you know, my wife and I are feeling like, you know, it's like, oh, the old gray mare is not what she used to be. It's like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not going to be what I'm going to be, right? I'm not quite ready to be put out the pasture yet. But folks, those of you who have been Christians for such a long time, that folks, you have an opportunity to look at your life and through the scope of history, see God's faithfulness all throughout the years. Right? I mean, those of you who are now mature saints in the Lord, that you should have the strongest faith of them all. You know, these young guys, these young gals, I mean, they got the energy, and they have the vigor, and they got the drive, but they don't have the experience. I remember hearing a young guy got up and preached a sermon, and he sat down, and there was two older pastors, and they're kind of discussing him. And they said, well, you know, how'd he do? And he said, he did good. He goes, but give him 30 years. In my own life, I've been now pastoring now for about 20, almost 22 years. I found even my dealing in the Word of God has changed because now I can apply it to the history of my life. Over the years, I've mellowed. Right? What I found in life is oftentimes as we age, we have one of two roads. Either we'll mellow or we'll sour. Right? Either we see and we understand more and we're more compassionate towards others, or we get more bitter and sour in life. Lord, when I grow up, I don't want to be a pickle. Lord, help me become sweet. And in this, folks, the advantage we have as a body, I know we're an older congregation, is that you have been through many roads. You have dealt with your own children from youth to age to grandchildren. You have a wealth of experience in your life that, folks, you can look back and say, God has been so good and God has been so faithful. Look at what He's done. And be encouraged for what God's going to do. Many of us get to a point where we can turn around in life and talk about all the things that God has already done. We got to be careful because God's not done with us yet. It's easy to look back on the church and say, well, look at all the things. You talk about, you know, the steeple, how God raised the funds for that. You can look down through and talk through various pastors and various things that has happened here. And we say, praise God, look at all this activity. Right? We can look back and say, hey, guess what? That same God is still the God of today. And nothing's too hard for Him. That those of you who have walked with the Lord through many miles and through many years have the distinct advantage of knowing that God never fails. How? Because you're living testimonies of it. Of answered prayer. You know, one thing of having a church with an older congregation is that you guys should be prayer warriors. Because you should be able to say, look, you know what? All these years God has answered prayers. Let's come before Him and throw ourselves down before Him. And knowing that He answers prayer. How? Because God's been faithful. You have known Him from the beginning. The Apostle Paul. Oh, you know, I'm going to skip that. The Apostle Paul wrote to this young man, Timothy, in the faith. And he turns around and he encourages him. And listen, this is Paul's sort of final goodbye. At this point, Paul knows that he's going to die. And in here, he writes this tribute. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through verse 8, look what he says at the end of his life. He says, I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also all who love His appearing. And I love this contrast because you have Paul, who is facing the end of his life, looking back on this younger guy through, this young man. And Paul gets to a point, he says, you know what? I have run the race. I have been faithful, and God has been faithful. And he takes the baton and hands it to the next generation. Folks, no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, whether we're babes in Christ, whether we're in the youth, or whether we're in the final ages, each one of us should be energized with our love for the Lord, of serving Him while we're here. That we may say with Paul, I have run the race, I have kept the faith. See, a sign of a healthy church is a church that has all these generations. We need the kids. Praise God. You know, it's good to see them running around, and sometimes they drive you nuts. Praise God for them. And I'll tell you, I don't know if they keep you young. People say, oh, you know, having kids around keeps you young. I get more tired with all the kids sometimes. But you know what? I need that drive. I need that encouragement. I need those opportunities. We need those who are these young couples. Pray with me, for God will send us young couples who will do the work, who will roll up the sleeves and give the energy and give the drive. And pray for those who are older, who are the mature saints, that with a steady hand to lead and guide and pass on wisdom and discernment to the next generation. No matter where we are, God presses us on to grow, to love Him more, to serve Him more, and expect great things from Him. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, Lord, no matter where we are in our lives, Lord, help us to trust You. Lord, help us to serve You. Lord, to do what You want us to do. Lord, each one of our lives have a perfect way. Help us to press on. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.